It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Numbers. We're going to read the 13th chapter today. I think you're going to really enjoy that. It's a wonderful chapter. It's kind of a sad chapter, but it's kind of a standard for our lives. So please, I hope that you can open your Bibles to Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to read that chapter here in a few minutes. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, which is one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we'll prepare for the study. We'll begin reading Numbers chapter 13. Again, Numbers chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them to the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these are the names of the tribes of Reuben. Now, I'm going to just read through the tribe names, and then we're going to look at two other names a little later that are very special, and Oshea and Caleb are the two. But you'll notice that each one, now in the fourth verse is the tribe of Reuben, fifth verse is the head of tribe of Simeon, of Judah, Issachar, verse 8, Ephraim, verse 9, Benjamin, verse 10, Zebulun, verse 11, Joseph, verse 12, Dan, verse 13, Asher, verse 14, Naphtali, and then Gad. And these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshaphat, which is Joshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountains, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. And now the time was in the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, and as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shisha, and Talmai, the children of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Ishcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two up on a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called the Brook of Ishcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, into the wilderness of Paran in Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now let's begin with prayer after we've read that 13th chapter. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come today and look at these verses of Scripture. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll just show us your way and will, that you would please just lead us. There's such a tremendous message here, and it's really a sad message for the choice that these people made. But, dear Father, please, that you will just let us have your perfect will, that we may know and see your way here. And I just ask that those that are lost, dear Lord, please, that you'll just touch your hearts and bring them to salvation. And those that are saved, just grow us, dear Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men that thou mayest search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And again, we read through these names, and you'll find, again, there's only two names that I'm really concerned about for you to remember, because it's the two that were trusting the Lord, and that's going to be Caleb and Oshea. But Osha is actually Joshua is another name there for it. So that's what we have, those two names. Just kind of remember those. Now, the question I have, it appears here in this 13th chapter that the Lord wanted the people to send out a representative from each tribe to go up and check the land out and then see what was up there and then decide what they're going to do after that. Now, you know, that's kind of a strange thing, isn't it? Because, you know, God knows what's there, and he has told them to go up and possess the land and take it. Now, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I want you to look at this, because this will help. Now, many times when you just look at one verse of Scripture or a couple, and here is a case where you would think, "And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan." Well, it appears like that that's what God wants them to do. Well, we're going to find here why the answer to that question. It's always good to, because Scripture confirms Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and then we're going to come over to the 20th verse. And he says, "I said unto you, ye come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged." You see, that's what they were to do. They were to take that land and go in and possess that land. But as you find here, they didn't choose to take it. What the problem was, they were looking at what was there. And we're going to discuss that today, because too often we do just that. We look at what is before us, and we don't remember what our God has said unto us and what we're to do. And so it's very important. And as we look at these, again, these verses of Scripture, and I'm going to read one more verse here back in Deuteronomy that I think I missed. And so let me turn back there just once again, because there was one thing that I was looking for and I wasn't seeing it. And I think I stopped with one verse too soon. Okay, once again, I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 20. And he said unto you, ye come into the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, this is what I was looking for, I just didn't read the 22nd verse, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. Once again, see in verse 20, ye come unto the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord thy God hath given to us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said to thee. Fear not, be not discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us. They shall search out the land and bring us word again as far as the way, the condition, and those things. You see the problem? You know, we have repeated these same words time after time through the book of Numbers here. You know, we have looked at them. They didn't desire the manna anymore. They wanted meat. They just continue to complain and complain and complain, even to the point at one time we had Moses complaining. Then we had the next time we had Aaron and his sister, Moses' brother and sister, Miriam. They were complaining about what they weren't getting and able to do. And it just seems as though that it just continues, and that was in the 12th chapter. And now we come to the 13th chapter, and they complained and they complained and they complained. This is not God's perfect will. It's his permissive will. All right. If you want to go see what's up there, go see what's up there and bring back an accurate report. And so that's what he did. And he sent these men, and we have the list of 12 here, down from the 4th verse down through verse 15. And in those you will see the family of Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Joseph, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, and Gad. The one that you see is not there, of course, is the tribe of Levi, because they do not go to war in any way or anything. And so you see they're not listed there. And then we find that the Oshea, which is in the 8th verse, is actually Joshua. And Joshua is a great man. He is the son of Nun, as the 28th verse tells us back in the 11th chapter. So, and Caleb. Now, those two I want you to remember. The rest of them, we're not even going to read their names, because I'm ashamed of them. I'm ashamed of them for looking at the situation, the circumstances, and not looking at what God has set out for them to do. Now, we're going to jump all the way down to the 17th verse. Moses commanded them in the 3rd verse of where to go and what to search out. And now in the 17th verse, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountains and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell there, wherein they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it's fat or lean, whether it be whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. And now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And so they went, and they searched the land. And it gives us the areas that they searched and what they looked for. And they came all the way down in verse 23 to the brook of Eshcol. And they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two up on a staff, and they brought the pomegranates and the figs. And so they went hunting, and they did listen to everything that Moses told them to do, but it was not the will of God that they do this. It was not. Because, you see, God told them, according to Deuteronomy, And we know in past they were commanded to go and take the land. I will go before you, and I will give you strength and power and leadership and wisdom, and I will destroy the enemies, and we need to go forth and take care of this. And so you see, as they went about to do this, they didn't listen to God. They decided to do as most people do. Let's go search it out. Let's go take a look. And then we will see. And see, that's the problem. And back in Deuteronomy, we read that. You know, we want to go see how strong they are. We want to see if we're able to take them on and do what we need to do. We want to see that. So you see, they went after and to look at the situation. What does this tell us? This tells us that they have no faith. They don't believe God. They're not trusting in God. That's what it tells us. Now, how many times, my friend, do we do the same thing? You know, God has clearly given us direction and strength, and He sends us forth to do something, but we begin to look at the circumstances around, and all of a sudden it becomes overwhelming, and we decide that we just can't handle it anymore, and we quit. Well, any time that you get to the place that you say, I can't take this anymore, I can't handle this anymore, what happens to us is that we're just trusting in our own abilities too much. And sometimes, you know, if God has sent you to do that, now maybe God's not in this thing that you're involved in. Maybe that's the reason that you're plumb tuckered out and you got no strength. Maybe that's the reason, because God's not a part of it. But if God's a part of what you're doing, He is going to empower you and strengthen you and give you the wisdom to take care of it. You know, when you lose your faith, when you stop trusting God to take care of it, every problem, every difficult thing that you're involved in is magnified. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you see, that's what happens, my friend, whenever we do not trust God. We can even get all the way to the verse 33 here. You know, granted, these men were big, these Anak here, these giants, they were big men. But look at the comparison. And you see how we get things out of kelter? They said, you know, in our sight, we look like grasshoppers. And in their sight, we look like grasshoppers. There's that much difference in size. I'm sorry, there wasn't that much difference in size. Now, they did really brag on the fruit that they brought. And they said that they had one cluster, a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two staffs. Now they have a good crop. I mean, it was big grapes, and the fruit was wonderful. It was flowing with milk and honey. There was no question about that. And they searched this place out for 40 days. But it wasn't probably just what you think of one little group of grapes that they put it between the pole and it just drug it. But it was tremendous. It was bigger than they'd ever seen. Because, you see, this is the greatest, most productive land in all the world. That's what God chose to give to His people, the best, the greatest. And isn't that wonderful? But here's what we find now. They went through and they searched the land out in verse 25, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. We have a lot of things 40 days through the time, don't we? And verse 26 now, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. Kadesh Barnea is where they entered into the land, and brought back word unto them, and said to the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Oh, in every way God was correct. They told him, verse 27, and said, we came into the land where thou sendest us. Now see, they've taken on the leadership. They complained. Every one of them came to Moses and said, we need to go in and check this out before we go. It just makes sense that we know our enemy. Well, they didn't trust God. They didn't trust God to go before them. But when they went in and sent this out, so already they're saying, you know, we checked out what you told us to check out. Well, Moses did tell them, but it wasn't the perfect will of God. We came to the land where thou sendest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. And so you see, boy, everything that was there, it was just perfect. Nevertheless, the people be strong. Oh, we're in trouble here. You see that word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, that's not good. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, okay, very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. We saw these children there. And the Amalekites dwelt in the land to the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. So, I mean, there's people everywhere. And there's these giants up there. And the cities are walled. In other words, they're very, very secure. And Caleb, here in verse 30, could tell the direction that this thing was going. And you get a couple negative people. And you know, when you stand for God and you're beginning to do something that is of His will and it's a difficult project, you're going to have people that's going to stand there and they're going to tell you, you don't have time to do that. You're working way too hard. You need to stop doing this. I just can't imagine how you can take care of everything. Well, I tell you what, when it's what God wants you to do, He's going to give you the strength to do what you need to do. And Caleb saw the direction that this was going, and he didn't like it. And he stilled the people. And he said before Moses, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." Now see, Caleb had faith. Caleb had faith. He looked at the situation. He was there 40 days with the rest of them. But you see, he didn't let that sway his opinion of whether God was strong enough to take care of it. He didn't let it do that. He just didn't let it overwhelm him. Now, the people that lacked faith, and I'm sure that Caleb is one that didn't say, "Let's go," because he didn't care. I'm sure he knew that God was going to deliver him. But we see here that Caleb very clearly, he stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it." What tremendous words. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Oh, we're in trouble, aren't we? We're back to the I, me, my disease here, you know. Oh, my, I know that I can't do this. And, you know, if you have a responsibility at church, and even something so simple as coming to church, you know, where you come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, oh, I just can't do that. I'm too tired. I just can't. Well, you know, my friend, that's the problem, because you don't believe how you would feel, because you'd come and get fellowship with other believers, you'd come and get feeding of the Word of God, so you're spiritually fed. What a wonderful evening, what a wonderful morning, but you let this old world control you. And the longer you let this world control you, the more those hurdles that you have to jump, they get taller. They get bigger. And all of a sudden, it's just impossible, or it seems impossible, to get over them. Well, that's kind of what happened here. The more that these spies went up there. Let's count, see how many there were. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Tribe of Joseph. And 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, because we had Manasseh and Ephraim. And so there was 12 spies. And with Levi missing, I wanted to count for sure. There was 12 spies that went, because Joseph, remember, got special, got the double blessing. And so his two sons got to, the representatives of their family got to go. And so as we look at this, these 12, so 10 got their heads together, and they looked at the situation, and they knew they were not strong enough to take care of it. They just weren't. They just couldn't do it. It was impossible for them to take this on. And so they, said very clearly. The men went up with him, said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Oh, isn't it sad? Majority ruled. The 10 said, we can't do it. We just can't do it. The people are too big. The walls and the cities are too strong. And look, we have, it's from every side, the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites. And then there's the Canaanites. And then above that way, we have the children of Anak. Where is there room for us? And we can't take it. We just can't do it. And they looked at the situation. They lacked faith. They revealed their lack of faith. They revealed their lack of trust in God. God said, we're going to take it. Let's take it. But you see, they wouldn't. And if you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, and please read that again, because you'll see that the men plagued. It was not God's will that they go up and see it, because as a whole, when man see what's before him, it's kind of like you and me knowing what's coming tomorrow. If we knew what tomorrow was to bring, we'd be so overwhelmed, we'd be depressed today. But you see, God doesn't let us see tomorrow, because there's enough in today. We don't need to see beyond today. And so God just shows us today, and then he opens the door up, and the light comes on in the morning, and we proceed about our business in serving the Lord and supporting our families and doing what needs to be done. But you see, we don't see beyond. Well, that's kind of what happened to these 10. They saw beyond. God showed them, because they just kept asking, kept asking, kept asking. And they could have even said, Scripture doesn't say, but they couldn't even start making statements like, hey, we're not going up there till we take a look, see what's there. You know, I can see people saying that, and not until we take a look, then we'll go. But not until we look. Well, when they looked, we find that it just overwhelmed them of what was there. And the old flesh and the old self started kicking in, and they weren't about to risk their lives to go do that, because we can't do it. But Caleb, without a question, come up and said, you know, we must take the land. Now, in the 14th chapter, because we're going to study that next time, you're going to see that Caleb isn't standing alone. Joshua is there as well. And so he stands right along with them. But, oh, my friend, if you know the rest of the story, it's a sad, sad story of what's going to happen here. And it's all because they did not believe God and his word. Now, I tell you what, it's going to happen the same way with you. If you say, oh, I don't need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, I don't need that personal relationship, my religion doesn't teach that, and I have never asked the Lord Jesus into my heart, or maybe you're like some folks that you just keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, but it's all in your head. You don't realize but with your heart that you're a sinner and you're lost and you need salvation. Well, my friend, what's going to happen to you is the same thing that's going to happen to these people as they refuse to trust by faith in God. You need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and you need to trust in him today. You need to look to him and say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. Please, dear God, forgive me. I see your word. I trust your word, and I'm going to come by faith. That's what these needed to do. They need to say, I'm going to come by faith. It looks impossible to take this land, but God, you said to take it, so I'm going to take it, and I'm going to trust in you, and we're going to walk each and every day with you. So please, dear God, just give me your will and give me your direction, and we will serve you and we will praise you. Oh, my friend, ask Jesus into your heart today, as I always close the program out with that wonderful question. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?